This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
One of the things that strikes me so powerfully every time I read Psalm 51 is the fact that David recognized that he could trust in God's grace, that if somehow God could find it in his heart to forgive David and cleanse David, which God could, then David knew that God would be able to use him again, not just to restore him personally, but actually use him to bring other people into the family. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. David, a restored David, a cleansed David, being used mightily of God to advance God's purpose. I'm very encouraged by that because it shows how God does not give up on us. Here were some of my takeaways from yesterday from Dr. Wagner's initial message. There are many more things, but I just wanted to highlight a few because I have a few things I want to share from my own heart with you this morning. When it comes to sexuality, Christians many times tend to be way too negative, too defensive. We're better at talking about what we're against than really what we're for. And in the area of sexuality, there are certain things that we say, we're against this, we're against that, but really we are for sex within God's design. We are for male and female created in God's image. This is who we are. How can we have a positive outlook and communicate a positive biblical paradigm to the world? The law is to protect relationships. So often we think of law as confining, as restrictive, but many times the law is there to protect us from danger. The world has compartmentalized sex. We cannot do that as Jesus followers. Jesus wants his followers to experience the full embrace of Trinity intimacy. John 17 John 14, 15, and 16, and the intimate fellowship between the Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, the three persons of the Godhead. God doesn't ask us to fix our sin problem. He has. But he asks us to come to him so that he may walk with us on the journey. Jesus wants his followers to experience the full assurance of his protection. How do we receive that? How do we ensure that? We'll be hearing more, but two ways that I took away. No emotional manipulation. If you loved me, you would. But also, just to avoid risky situations. Sometimes we have an overconfidence of ourselves, and we don't really honestly recognize our own weaknesses, that if I'm in a situation like that, I might, oh no, I'm stronger, maybe, but why risk it when you've got something very precious here? So those were some of my takeaways. And of course, I loved the YouTube video on cooties. If you missed it, you'll just, what can I say? Several years ago, it was homecoming. And I was having a panic attack. Now, I don't know if it was, I'm sure it wasn't quite a, it wasn't a clinically diagnosed panic attack, but I was very upset because the homecoming team, the alumni ministries had planned this wonderful time of alumni luncheon on Saturday where we got to get together with all the alumni, and they were catering barbecue from one of my favorite places. And I couldn't find my ticket. Now, of course, you know me, so you know I was mainly going to minister to the alumni and so forth. But they were having barbecue from a place that I really liked. And I couldn't find my ticket. So I called the alumni office, but of course, they're not going to be there, right? They're running all over. They're trying to find alumni and minister to them. But a young lady who worked in the office at that time, Brenda, called me back. She had been monitoring her phone, and she called me back. And she said, well, you know that plastic name badge that you got, the little pouch that had your name in it, Brian Byer Faculty? Yes, okay. Right behind that badge that says Brian Beyer faculty, if you look in the pouch, is your ticket for the barbecue. Yes. And then she said, you got everything you needed when you signed up. And I hung up and I thought, I'm going to use that someday. Today's the day. 2 Peter 1:3 says, you got all you needed when you signed up. His divine power has granted to us all we need for life and godliness. You got all you needed when you signed up. Eternal life doesn't begin when you die physically. Eternal life begins when you die to yourself and surrender your life to Christ. Eternal life is now and later. You got everything you needed when you signed up. Everything we needed for life and godliness. Now, God provides us that, those kinds of things that we need for life and coping with life and godliness. Sometimes He provides them through His Word, sometimes directly through His Holy Spirit, sometimes through friends or pastors or counselors. He works through His people. He works through His body. The Lord has a number of ways to work. We shouldn't assume that because 2 Peter 1:3 says we got everything we need for life and godliness when we signed up, that it's talking about just keep reading 2 Peter, you'll be okay. There's more to Scripture, and there's more to the way that the Holy Spirit works in the world. Scripture often presents this concept of now, but not yet. That is, there's a certain aspect of a particular theme that's true now, but also it'll be more fully realized later, or it not yet the fullest expression has come, but right now we have some of it. The kingdom is like that. When Jesus began His public ministry, He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The rule of God has broken into humanity, and we need to get in line with where God's taking this thing. But 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the end when He delivers up the kingdom to His Father. Isaiah 11 talks about this amazing day when the wolf lies down with the lamb and there's peace brought about by the root of Jesse, the son of David. So there is a kingdom. The kingdom of God is among you now, Jesus says. It's right here. But it's also coming. The fullest expression of it is coming later. With respect to our walk with Christ, sanctification, a word we use to talk about our maturity in Christ, about our becoming ever more Christ-like. There's a positional aspect and a process aspect that theologians would point us to. There are places in Scripture where it talks like, this is a done deal. This is all finished, our sanctification. In Romans 8, 29 and 30, Paul talks about how After saying how God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, he tells us why. Because those whom God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Those whom He predestined, He called. Those whom He called, He justified. And those whom He justified, He glorified. Now, when you go through that, whatever your particular theology, Calvinist or Arminian or somewhere in between, it says that this group that God foreknew was predestined. This group that God predestined, which was the group He foreknew, same group, He called. This group that He called, which was the group He predestined, which was the group He foreknew, He justified. All these things are past tense. He's talking to a group of people who have been foreknown, predestined, called, and justified. But then He says, and those whom He justified, He glorified. Glorified, speaking of that last day when we receive our resurrection bodies, and then we shall know fully, even as we are fully known, no longer able to sin, free from sin. And He speaks of it as though it's a done deal. Because in God's plan, it is a done deal. In Ephesians 2, it's the same thing. Ephesians 2, 6, Paul says that God made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up and He seated us in the heavenly places. It's as though we're already there in heaven before the throne, worshiping the Lamb. But we know we're not. We know we still have our lives to live. We know that we still have this opportunity to serve the Lord for the Great Commission's sake wherever He sends us. There's a position that as far as God's plan, it's done. But for today, He's given us the Holy Spirit as his down payment, Ephesians 1, and he's going to continue to make payments on us. He wants to do that. He wants to join us on that journey. He wants us to walk with him. What about the Old Testament system of cleanliness? Well, again, I believe that we have this position and process. There were certain things that the Torah commanded: bring a sacrifice, live this way, eat this kind of food. There was a certain external cleanliness that the people's lives were displaying and manifesting. But there are other parts of Torah that point us to the heart and say, you know, what's really important is what's inside. And you start to see that in the prophets, where God says, you know, I don't really want those sacrifices if that's all I'm getting. If I'm getting issues of the heart, if the matters of the heart are coming forth and your lives are reflecting the godliness or the cleanliness that's on the outside, if it's reflected in here and flowing out, that's one thing. But if you just have the external, then that's nothing. We can look awfully good on the outside, can't we? But maybe inside there's a lot of bad stuff that God wants to clean up. The good news is that if we belong to Christ, if we've come to a point in life where we've said, you know, I have a deep spiritual need, I can't meet that need, but God has met that need in Christ, and I repent of my sin and I place my faith in Christ, if I cross over, if I pass from death to life, then something very significant happens. All my sin is forgiven. My past sin, my present sin, my future sin, it's all forgiven. The righteousness of Christ is credited to my account. The Holy Spirit comes into my heart and changes the basic orientation, the basic disposition of my life, so that it is now toward Christ as opposed to against Christ. But he doesn't instantly transport me to heaven. He says, now I'm going to walk with you the rest of life in this process. He's going to walk with us on the journey. I have a friend named Moshe. That's the Hebrew for Moses. And Moshe lives in Jerusalem, and he runs a shop in the Jewish quarter. Some of you have met him. And one of the questions that our students typically ask him when it comes to the question and answer time in his little orientation he gives in the shop is, were the Old Testament sacrifices symbolic or were they literal? That is, did they actually take away sin or were they symbolic? And he says, well, they were always symbolic. They never actually took away sin, but they're a reminder to us. And from our students' perspective, it's a question that's a difficult one for a Jewish person to answer. And Moshe gives an answer in his own mind. And typically when we walk out of the store, somebody will say, that really wasn't a very good answer, was it? No, because if the sacrifices were symbolic, what were they symbolic of? Did they point to what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10, that the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin, but in them there is a reminder of sin every year, so that when the sacrifice of Jesus comes, he can cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, clean us up, purify us. Really, what the sacrifices pointed to, he did. Or did they actually take away sin? In which case, there's no temple now, so what do you do if you're a Jew? Well, here's the good news of the cross. Here's the good news of really the Old Testament system and the New Testament system. It points us to the fact that there was this ritual sense of cleanliness. And by subscribing to a certain external code of ritual, the people could be legally clean before God, ceremonially clean before God. But God was always more concerned with the matter of the heart. Jesus pointed that out in the Sermon on the Mount, but the prophets do that very well. What Jesus really wants is for us to understand that these things we do externally, they should flow from our heart. That is, that being clean, on the one hand, we recognize that God has made us clean in Christ. Christ has forgiven us, so we need to forgive ourselves. We need to recognize that He died so that we don't have to keep carrying this guilt on our backs the rest of our life. That's why He came. And if He has forgiven us, we need to forgive ourselves. All of us, whether it's sexual sin or other sin, have sin in our lives. Again, if we've passed from death to life, if we've become followers of Jesus, if we've been born again, then from the legal side of things, from the eternal side of things, God has settled that transaction for us. But He says, you know, I love you too much to just leave you until heaven. I want to help walk with you now. I want to walk with you on this journey and enable you to be all that you can be in this life for me, for you, for others, for the person you're going to marry, for the person you are married to, for my kingdom's sake. Jesus is here with us to say, I've cleansed you positionally, eternally, but I want to walk with you. And that's what today's all about. That's what this week is all about, talking about how do we process what God is doing in our life. Well, one of the steps as we started this morning is reflecting and asking the Holy Spirit to bring to the front of our minds, maybe put in front of us so we can see it more clearly, areas where we're falling short in our lives. Maybe it's the area of sexual sin. Maybe we need to say to the Lord, Lord, I really need cleansing from that in my past. Or maybe, Lord, I struggle with this today, this issue. I just lust, boy, it's just difficult. And if I'm honest with myself, I struggle with this. And Lord, just a few clicks on the computer, and I'm in places that I know I shouldn't be, and I tell myself, don't do that anymore, and I try harder, and I just find myself back there. And God wants to walk with us on that journey. He's not saying it's okay, but He's saying, I love you too much to leave you there. Let me help you. Let me walk with you on the journey. What I'd like for us to do is we're going to put the words from Psalm 51 back up on the screen. They were up when we came in. And just pray on your own, silently before the Lord. It's a very personal time. And ask God to identify areas where He wants to cleanse us more completely. Let's do that. Let's ask God, Lord, as we read Psalm 51, help us to see in our own lives, where do You want to cleanse us more completely, and where do You need to walk with us more completely on our respective journeys? For some of us, it's going to be very obvious. You already know what you're going to be praying for. But maybe we have blind spots. Maybe there are certain things that God needs to bring to the forefront. You know, if you're really honest with yourself, you realize that here's an issue kind of related to this. Holy Spirit can do that, but He wants us to ask Him to do that. So let's do that. And we'll just have the words up there, maybe some soft music, and you just pray and ask the Lord, do business with God, see what He wants to do in your life. Holy Spirit of God, we thank You for hearing our prayers. We pray that You would continue to do in us and through us all that You are pleased to do. Thank You that Jesus came to free us from the power of sin, not just the penalty, but the power. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that You would continue to do this work in us to make us more like Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.